Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. It's episode 10 for season 2016. Myself, Tony Moclair, and the great man, the beast, Tony DeBolfo. How are you, Tone?
Good day, Tony. Lovely to see you in the room, and interesting weekend. How did you spend it?
I was watching it courtesy of Channel 7. That you're talking about the Bulldogs game.
I am indeed.
What else would we be talking about? I had my son Rafe, 9-year-old, on my lap with his best mate Charlie.
Yes,
he's a Richmond supporter, so he hasn't had a very good weekend either. And Daddy got a little bit worked up. Daddy, that was an indication of how. How disappointed I was. I mean, they were harder and, well, let me rephrase that. I don't think they were any harder than we were. They were just a lot more favoured by the umpires.
We certainly did get the rough end of the pineapple in terms of the umpiring decisions. I think, what was the figures? It was something like...
We'd gone 52 minutes without a free kick. Now, when a game is that much in the balance, when both sides are committing to the contest, as Carlton and the Bulldogs were, to then contend that free kicks are only going one way is simply idiotic.
Yes. Admittedly, I think we were our own worst enemies with a fair few of those contentious decisions, Tony. I think perhaps we were a little bit over-vigorous in our attack that probably resulted in, you know, a lot of decisions not going our way. But in saying that, it was a massive discrepancy, wasn't it, between us and them in terms of the free kick count.
There were some really poor free kicks that they got too.
Was there a cat within striking distance of your boot, Tony?
No, the neighbours next door are selling their house, and I think it has a lot to do with how I react when I watch the footy these days. That's all I'll say. In terms of debuts, though, Tone, it was fantastic. Before we get to what I think are going to be some glittering careers in the dark navy blue jumper, where did you see the match?
I was actually officiating as Master of Ceremonies at the Carltonians lunch, Tony. Vince Lochezano, the president, had asked me to do the honours. A little thing to come out of that was Phil Malan, the 81-82 Premiership wingman, was a guest of the Carltonians, and as fate would have it, his 60th birthday was coming up on the, I think, 4 days from the event. So Vince, you know, in his wisdom, arranged for a cake to be presented to Phil at the end of the interview I conducted with him on stage in front of everyone in the house. Unfortunately, Phil had almost turned 61 before the cake actually arrived. So it was a horrible pause there for a period during the function, Tone.
But was a former bluebird expected to pop out of the cake?
Well, it was a minuscule cake, so unfortunately it wasn't, no, it didn't achieve that effect. However, it was a good function, and you know, we watched on with disappointment, I suppose, particularly that second quarter when the Bulldogs really lifted a notch, and unfortunately our players just weren't there for that crucial period of time. And you know, you look at the the first half, 9-4 to 2-3, the game was effectively over. Brendan Bolton did say that he commended the players for hanging in, which they did, and I think you could made a reasonable argument that we had the better of the second half. Of course, the damage was done, but as you mentioned earlier, there were some positives to come out of that contest, no doubt.
Yeah, well, just before we get to those, 7 missed set shots at goal. I mean, that's going to kill you every day of the week in, week out.
And I feel for the defenders, you know, and the midfielders that are busting a gut to get the ball into that forward 50, only to have it come out again at the kickoff. You know, it's, you know, we're talking senior league footy here, and it's unacceptable at this level, really. And, you know, players have just got to get it right. You know, we're not talking, you know, difficult chances here. These are set shots from, you know, point blank.
Yeah.
And I mean, at this
meters.
Level, it's inexcusable, I believe. It's got to be rectified.
Yeah, you're right. You know, turnovers obviously were lethal. Let's look at the debuts, though. They were exciting. Sumner, what did you make of him, Tone?
A lively little player and a hard nut too. And it seems to be a theme amongst the players that have come to this club from GWS. You know, I think what those players as collective have brought is a real metal you know, and resolve to the team. And players like, you know, Sumner and Lockie Plamer we'll talk about in a minute, Jed Lamb, they're all, they've all been in the system for a little while now, and they're match hardened and contributing. And it's magnificent to see the example that players like Sumner, Lamb, Plam and Set. A favourite moment in that game for me, Tony, was when Liam Sumner took that terrific mark in the third quarter. Yeah. The world bearing down on him. Yeah. He was taken out. And what was great about it was the way that the Carlton players went in to support their mate and fly the flag. Now, that's to me tells me that the team is playing for each other, and I loved seeing that, and all power to Liam Sumner for setting the example, and for the players to rally around him in his time of need. It was very good to see, and that was a great mark and a real lifter for the team. You know, finished off with a goal, and that's exactly what you want from your players. You know, bodies on the line. Caution to the wind, you know, and just make the ball your object, and the rest will look after itself.
Yeah, and a bit of a dust up too, which is always fun.
We love it.
Yes. Now, you mentioned Lockie Plowman.
Lockie Plowman, Mr. Versatility. You know, Brendan Bolton threw Lockie Plowman straight onto Stringer straight away, and
who had quite a game.
Plowman kept Stringer pretty much under wraps. And then there was a period of time where he was thrown back onto Tom Boyd, the big tall forward for the Bulldogs. So what we see in Plowman is a capacity to take the small or the tall. And the other thing I like about Lockie Plowman's game was his capacity to run the lines.
Yeah.
You know, and straight up the middle. And he's a really, looks to me like a really good rebounding defender that I think is going to play back half for a long, long time for the Carlton Football Club. And I do think, Tony, one of the other positives that come out of the game was the way that the backs are beginning to really gel. You know, and you know, we talk about Jakob Vietering, of course, and how well he played and how well he's playing. And then throwing a Plowman into the mix, you've got the, you know, the wise-headed Simo at the back as well. Sam Doherty, outstanding. Oh, you know, you're getting some good numbers there. And I think we're really seeing, you know, the future setup of the back six, you know, beginning to materialise.
What does that mean for our mate Jammo?
Well, Jammo, you know, he was, I suppose, you know, tapped on the shoulder and told, you know, to get back and find some form. You know, I'm sure he's taking it like a man and will come back like the professional that he is. You know, there's still obviously opportunity for Jammo to break back into that team. But I think it's good that, you know, the message is sent to our experienced players that, you know, nothing's forever. There are no guarantees. And players that represent the Carlton Football Club in 2016 are selected on form. So I don't think it's a bad message to send at all, not only to a player of Jammo's experience, but to the rest of the team, say that positions are available if you're up for the fight. It's good to see.
We'll give his new podcast a plug, but only when he's back in the scene.
don't go too hard there. We are in opposition, of course.
Now, there was watching the game, and at the end of it, I definitely felt exasperated by aspects of it that I've certainly mentioned, but there was grit, there was determination, there was still that frustrating, you know, all the hard work in the second half amounting to very little because of, I guess, the lack of a key marking forward.
Very true. But I think also we're probably falling down a little bit in terms of our decision-making and also our use of the ball really across the ground.
Yeah.
I think there are, you know, just a few too many clangers for all the hard work that our players, you know, put in. I think, you know, maybe that comes with a little bit more experience. I don't know. But I think just wise heads have to prevail. In terms of the contested possessions, I don't think you could ask more of the way the Carlton players are going about their work. You know, they're really committing to the contest across the ground. But I think it's just where they're falling down is just, you know, their clinical use of the football and the finishing and the decisions they make in terms of, you know, when they give off a kick to put a player to advantage or a handball. We're just lacking a little bit of poise and maybe composure there. So there's a lot I guess, to, you know, to for Bolton to work with to try and get this element of Carlton's game right. But I think in terms of the commitment of the players, you couldn't really question how hard they're going. We want consistency of performance too, Tony, obviously. You know, that second quarter in particular really was unacceptable. We've got to try and get 100 minutes into the legs of all our players. And that's a work in progress, but hopefully it will come. But by and large, you really can't fault the way the players are going about their work. They are truly having a go for Carlton.
And that is reflected by the fact that membership has bested last year's effort.
Yeah, well...
And so people are genuinely engaging with that effort and that new spirit.
Very good point, because I think they believe in where Brendan Bolton is taking this group and all the coaches are taking this group of players. It's a work in progress, and we know and we realise that it's not one of those situation where you can click your fingers and get it right. It's going to take time. However, the signs are positive, and I think the discerning judges out there, the Carlton members, can see that that this is a team on the make.
Mm-hmm.
And we only hope that, you know, we can get a few more members over the line, Tony, because 50,000 plus would be magnificent.
Well, we're two pivotal steps closer to that magic 50,000 number, Tone, because... Congratulations to Juddy and Beck. There are currently 47,305 members. Make that 307 by the time those twins pop out. Now, we don't... There was debate before we pressed record today as to the gender or the sex
yes.
of the two... That's now a loaded term, unfortunately. But
yes.
The sex of the two... babies.
Yes. Well, I've called for the developed print of the Ultra scan. We're waiting on that.
We know at least one is male, which is great news.
Well, that is great news, and we're certainly looking forward to seeing that great man in action in what it'll be, 2035?
Yeah, I'm happy to wait.
Put in Navy
happy
body.
To wait.
We'll be there, Tony, cheering the great man on. But no, it is great news, and you know, good luck to Chris and Rebecca Judd. I know they are regular listeners of the podcast.
Yeah.
And
that they may have even fallen pregnant while listening to it. I'm just saying.
Oh, it could have been Bob Chitty's Blues last week.
It could have been.
It's a bit too late.
It is great news, and we're very good happy for them. Good luck.
Yeah, and good luck to them both. Yes.
Now, speaking of Hall of Famers, or, you know, great players of the Carlton Football Club, there's a couple of new inductees, Tone, that we should talk about.
Yes, very exciting to see that Scott Campriale, Mil Hannah, Jack Rowden, and Ian Robertson have all been inducted into the Carlton Hall of Fame, or will soon be formally inducted into the Hall, a big night at the Athenaeum shortly. I had the great privilege of being on the selection committee, Tony, there was a lot of deliberation, finalising the names of these four great Carlton men. A number of meetings held over the journey to finalise this list. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, most of the listeners would be mindful of the contributions of Campriale,
yeah.
Hannah and Ian Robertson. Ian Robertson, mm-hmm. a triple premiership player. Jack Rout's probably the unknown, but was a great player for Carlton through the 30s and 40s. And in later life was the pacifist to the bull in the china shop, who was Rod Barassi, the coach of Carlton. Jack Rout, for many years, was chairman of selectors through that period, and was seen as the great pacifist. Jack Rout's son Johnny told me that Jack would have made a magnificent politician,
mm-hmm.
because he played the diplomat to, you know, with aplomb.
Mm.
And he served as Carlton chairman of selectors effectively to the day he died. Wesloff's had probably taken the mantle by then, but officially Jack Rout until his death was Carlton's chairman of selectors, and was a great man behind the scenes, a man who was truly respected by people with whom he worked, and a most worthy inductee to the Carlton Hall.
I would say the same of Mil Hannah. I'm thrilled to see him in
yes.
there. God, he was such a great player to watch.
Yeah,
courageous, skillful, just, I've always kind of had a a soft spot for Millham.
Yes.
So I'm very happy to see him.
A great call and a great Carlton story, a great multicultural story.
Yeah, it really
born
is.
In Lebanon.
Yeah.
Born in Lebanon. It's, you know, it's hard to fathom that a kid from that part of the world could come in and just take Australia on at their own game. And which he did, you know, and a local boy too. He settled
in Fitzroy. Well, he runs the Fitz Cafe in Fitzroy.
That's right, you know, and was recruited to the club from, you know, a stone's throw from the ground. So all power to him. Camporeale, of course, you know, premiership player. Should have been the Norwich Rising Star in his first year, 95, Tony. Don't know how he never won that award.
I think he was wearing the wrong jumper.
Yes, probably was at the time. And, of course, in Adelaide's Heir of Need, took over as coach with the sad demise of Philip Walsh. So all great Carlton men who, with the exception of Jack Rowd, who died some years ago, we would expect would all be in the room when their names are confirmed as Carlton's inductees.
Well, congratulations to all of them. And congratulations to you, Tone, for your fine work doing that.
Oh, too. Thank you very much. A labour of love, Tony, I assure you.
Now, I believe there's one player being elevated to legend status.
There will be one player elevated to legend status on the night we will hear that name. I know just in the planning behind the scenes for this, I'm sure that this legend will be well received by the Carlton rank and file. Just being part of it, as I said, Tony, to hear fellow legends of the club talk about this man in such glowing terms really gives you a sense of how important this particular legend was to the machinations of Carlton in arguably its greatest glory era. So
congratulations to Josh Bootsma. Oh, sorry, I've let the cat out of the bag there. Sorry, shouldn't have done that. No, we look forward to that on the night. When is that?
The big night is at the Athenaeum on April 29th, Tony.
Okay, April 29th. Great, gotcha. Now, we'll look ahead to round five, Frio v Carlton. The club travel to Perth for this game. Bags not sitting next to Grant Hackett on the plane. Tone, do you want to preview it?
Well, Tony, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, who would have thought from Adel, zip from four?
I know, this is extraordinary.
I mean, it's hard to believe that, you know, if they find themselves in this position. Pretty much took it up to North for, you know, a fair proportion of the game last week. Fell away, I suppose, in the finish. But, look, Frio in Perth, I mean, it's a massive challenge for the Carlton travelling team. So
that said, there's been some great victories out west, and like in the last 5 years or so, Carlton have given a good account of themselves.
They have indeed, and as I perhaps alluded to earlier, Brendan Bolton has got this team playing a super attacking brand of footy. You know, they're taking the game on, and they're backing themselves. And I just think, on the big ground, that's what they have to do. You know, it's all about quick ball movement. What we want to probably see a little bit more is the cleanness of possession, better decision making, and better finishing for goal.
Yes.
If we get all that, then we're going to win games. And let's hope the first of them comes at Domain Stadium at the weekend.
All right, that game Sunday 24th of April at Domain Stadium, 2:15. That's Western Standard Time. Tone, we need to give our votes.
Yes. You go first, Tone.
For me, Doherty, 3 votes. I thought he was magnificent. It's just his rate of effort, his initiative. I just remember just watching him going, I'm just thrilled that he is at our club. Who else do I have here? And this may strike you as Phillips. His ongoing development. I'm finding.
You like what you see.
I like what you see. Yeah,
a real competitor, isn't he?
He is. He's definitely. So it's 2 votes for him, and I'm going 1 for Kerridge. I like how he goes about it. I like what he does.
Very good call, Tony. Hard to disagree. When you think about the game, there were a lot of good contributors to Carlton. I haven't gone completely the same way as you. I've actually pitched for 3 defenders.
Oh, yeah.
So my one vote goes to, Simo, Cade Simpson, played out of his weight division for 12 years and still going strong. Two votes I gave to Lockie Plowman. I thought on debut, you know, to be able to nullify Stringer and then to go back onto Boyd in his first game for the club, you know, you couldn't ask more. And three, I agree with you entirely on Sam Docherty. I thought he was heroic in the way that he stood firm for Carlton when it was under real siege. So three backs this week, Tony.
Well, well done. Well done. I probably should give a special mention to... Sumner, I thought. Yeah, Sumner and Plowman, exceptional on debut.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
So absolutely.
Well done to both of them. That is it from us. We will be back next week to dissect what hopefully is Carlton's first win of season 2016. We live in hope.
Hear, hear.
Tony DiBolfo, great to see you. We'll catch you next week on The Two Tones.